Quite a line down there for lunch, so some more people will be joining us. But welcome to Hebrew Club. Good to see everybody here. Once again, we're working our way through 2 Samuel, and we're on chapter 17, and we're about ready to start verse 3. And remember, we are right in the middle of Achitophel's advice. And remember, Achitophel was a trusted advisor to David, who's the traitor, now in Absalom's camp. So he's speaking to Absalom. Absalom had asked him, what should we do? Remember, Absalom had entered Jerusalem because David's still on the loose. And so Achitophel's giving his advice. And Achitophel's advice was as if God had spoken, remember, to the kings, to Absalom and also to David. So he's very trusted. Now, and what we're also going to see then is the counter advice by Hushai, remember, who was still on David's side, who David planted in Absalom's camp as a spy. So remember, just previously, Hushai had kind of proven his loyalty to Absalom by saying, you know, I'm going to serve you. So that's what we're going to see. So we're starting verse 3, and we're right in the middle of Achitophel's advice, remember? And Achitophel had said, let's attack, give me 12,000 men. I think it was 12,000, I can't remember. Yeah, 12,000 men, and I'll attack him. And remember, at the end of verse 2, I'll terrify him. All the people who are with him will flee, and then I will strike the king alone. So notice he's counting on the element of surprise. He thinks all the people around him will leave. He'll be able to either capture David or kill him or whatever you mean by strike relatively simply. So you have that levado alone. That's kind of the key. There's not going to be this bloody battle, this drawn-out conflict, brother fighting brother, remember. We're talking about a civil war here. And Achitophel knows that he doesn't want that to happen. All right. So verse 3, he continues with his advice. Ve'ashiva kol ha'am eleka keshuv ha'kol ha'ish asher ata mekabesh kol ha'am yehye shalom. See the shalom, the peace there. Ve'ashiva, and I will bring back. Notice that this is simply a hifil from shuv. Notice it has a cohortative ending on it. All right, so you could translate, let me bring back. But I think it's expressing his will or his wish, what he wants to do. And I will return all the people, Eleka, to you. See, he's worried about civil war, obviously. And so this is how Achitophel is going to unite people. I will return all the people to you. Now, notice the stop here because it's a little awkward in Hebrew syntax. Notice the keshuv, that's the preposition kaf plus the infinitive construct call. Okay, so it's and the subject of the infinitive is ha-kol. Okay, and notice that Masoret wants you to pause like that right after the kol. So like everybody's returning, now insert the verb is the man which you are seeking. In other words, you have to insert the verb in the next phrase. So like the returning of everybody is the returning of the man who you are seeking. Okay? So in other words, what he's saying, notice in verse 2, all the people will flee, I'll strike him, and by so doing, as a result, I will return all the people to you. This is the reason why. Like the returning of all is the return of the man whom you are seeking. In other words, he's saying, if I get this guy, all the other people will follow you. Everybody get the logic? See, so notice what he says at the end here with a kol ha'am yihye shalom. All the people will be shalom, at peace. See, that's what the bottom line of his strategy is. If you capture David, the people will fall in line. There won't be a bloody conflict. Okay, that's his advice. Let me go do it now while David is at his weakest. Any questions about the syntax of verse 3 here? It's kind of important to when we see what's going to be said in contrast. Okay? All right, any questions? Notice that shalom, Hebrew does not need a preposition there for a kind of modifying phrase or a prepositional phrase, which we need in English, in peace or with peace or something like that. Very common. Verse 4. Vayishar hadavar be'enei Avshalom uve'enei kol ziknei Yisrael. Okay, vayishar is simply a call, imperfect, vav, consecutive, from yashar. Yashar means to be upright. So it's a first yud verb. Hi, Ruth. Good to see you join us again. She's going to be our weekly with us. So, all right. And it means to be upright, yashar. So notice that this is a imperfect form. Notice the yud stays because it's a stative verb. When you have a first yud verb that's stative meaning, it's different than like the word yashav, which the imperfect is yeshev. This is more like yatav, where the imperfect is yitav. So it's yashar, yishar. So hadavar, the advice was good. The advice was good, be'enei Avshalom, in the eyes of Absalom, and in the eyes of all the ziknei, elders of Israel. Again, that's just a construct plural form from Zakein. Okay, questions on verse 4? All right, verse 5. Vayomer Avshalom, karana gam lechushai, fatal mistake, ha'arki, v'nishme'ama bepiv gam hu. Okay. Then Absalom said, kera, notice that simple call imperative, na, particle of politeness, please call gam also Hushai the Arachite. Remember the plant, David's plant. So please also call Hushai the Arachite. And let us hear, Shama. Notice it's a call, cohortative, first common plural. Let us hear what is in his mouth, gam hu, also him. So notice how the gam hu kind of emphasizes. We would say in English, probably put that first. Let us also hear what he has to say. Okay. Questions about verse 5 were in pretty simple going so far. All right, here we go. Hushai, what's he going to say now? Verse 6. Vayavo Hushai el Avshalom. Vayomer Avshalom elav lemor. Kadavar hazeh dibar achitofel. Ha na'ase et devaro im ein atadaber. So Hushai came to Absalom. Again, Yavo, simple call, imperfect vav, consecutive. Hushai came to Absalom, Vayomer, and Absalom said to him, Lamor, as follows. Notice the Lamor introduces direct speech. Said to him as follows. In this way, or according to this advice, Kadavar Hazeh, Achitophel spoke. Okay? Now notice the interrogative hey in front of the Na'aseh. The Na'aseh is a simple call, first common plural from Asa. We will do. So notice this makes it a question. Should we do Devaro? Should we follow his advice? See? Should we do his advice? Should we do his advice? Okay. Im ein or not. Okay. As for you, daber, speak. Notice that daber is a PL imperative. So notice the ata adds emphasis. You or you yourself speak. So again, Hushai entered, according to this word, Achitophel said, should we do his advice or ein, or not? Okay, notice it's kind of an unusual use of ein. I mean, you'd expect maybe lo or not. As for you, you daber, you speak. Okay? Questions through six. Yeah, Will.
For the adnak underneath the divaro?
Yes.
Does that mean the
Ezrich
one, you take the last four words together?
Yeah. And you could also, I think that now that I look at it, it would probably be better to translate that as even with the usual conditional force. Should we follow his advice? Stop. If not, you speak. That would probably make better sense, make it a little easier. Yeah, good. Okay, any other questions? Verse 7. Vayomer Hushai el Avshalom. Lo tova ha'etza asher ya'atz achitofel ba pa'am hazot. Okay. Then Hushai said to Absalom, lo tova. No good. Is the etza. Notice that's from the root ya'atz, to advise. Not good is the advice which achitofel has advised ba pa'am hazot at this time. Pa'am. Notice pa'am means time or step. And zot, of course, is the pronoun. So at this time, remember, Achitophel's advice was as God to David. And so now here, Hushai says, not this time, dude. All right? Now he's going to explain why. Questions through seven? Vayomer Hushai. Ata yadata et avika ve'et anashav. Ki giborim hema. U mari nefesh hema. Kedov shaku basadeh. Ve'avika ish milchama ve'lo yalin et ha'am. Okay. Then Hushai said, ata. Notice the use of the pronoun. You yourself know et avika. Your father ve'et anashav and his men. Ki, for giborim, giborim hema, for they are giborim, see, for they are heroes, or we would say, for they are mighty men. Umare nefesh hema. Notice that mare is from the adjective from mara, to be bitter, but here we would say fierce, fierce of, and notice its construct, fierce in nefesh are they. Okay, we would probably say something like fierce in spirit. You know, in other words, what would we say? So they're hero men and what? Yeah. It's more like
bad to the bone.
Yeah, that's it. Bad to the bone. If you really want to get colloquial, it's mare nefesh hema. In other words, they have this fierce spirit about them. They're not all right. Now, here's how he explains it again. Kedov. Dove is the word for bear. As a bear, and it's a mama bear, shakul. The Hebrew word shakal means to be bereft of children, to suffer the loss of your children. So this is an adjective which means you're bereft of your cubs. So like a bear bereft of her cubs in the field. Okay, that's what he's comparing them to. Well, you can imagine what that's like. Okay, and your father is an ish milchama. He's a warrior. See, a man of war. He's a warrior. And not will he, now lean means to spend the night. Okay, and it's a simple call imperfect, a hollow verb. And he will not spend the night et ha'am, with the people. Okay, so in other words, David's too smart to be caught with all these other people. Okay, any questions about verse 8 as his progress continues. Verse 9. Hine ata hu nechba be'achat ha-pechatim o be'achad ha-mekomot v'haya kinfol bahem ba-techila v'sham ha-shomea v'amar hayata magefa ba'am asher acharei Avshalom. Look now. He nechba. Notice that this is a nifal from Chava. All right, it's a nifal, and it's a participle form. And remember, in the nifal, it takes on an intransitive meaning. Okay, so it's not like he's hiding an object. He is hiding. That's how we'd say it in English. Look now. He is hiding be'achat in one of the pechatim, in one of the crevices, you would say, one of the pits. All right. Remember, he had passed over the Jordan where he was, so they knew the country. He's hiding in one of those pits, one of those crevices, or in one of the places, Mekomot. Okay? And it will happen, Vehaya kinfol. As soon as the falling on them at the beginning, Batechila. So, namely, the subject is Achitophel's troops. So let me fill that in. As soon as Achitophel's troops fall on them in the beginning. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. I think there's something missing here. I think the subject is actually David's men here. No. Here's how you have to understand it. If you understand the fall as fall in battle, then it's Achitophel's troops. As soon as they fall, their fall among them at the beginning. That's, I think, the best way to understand it. I was a little unclear when I looked at it before. But that nephol is a call infinitive construct from nafal. And the keh, as soon as there falls bahem, in them at the beginning. So in other words, if the men attack these really fierce guys and they start losing in the beginning, this is what's going to happen. Veshama hashomea. Okay, veshama. Then we'll hear, and here's the subject. Then whoever hears, the one who hears, will hear it, and he will say, a magefa, a defeat, a slaughter, a blow, haya, has happened, ba'am, among the troops, ha'am, which are acharei, after Absalom. See, so his advice is, look, you don't know who you're dealing with. These men, David's not going to be among them. You're going to come on them. As soon as some of your men fall, the word's going to spread. There's a magefa among the people of Absalom. So it's going to result in panic amongst your troops. Okay? That's what Hushai is saying will happen. So notice they're debating the consequences of the attack on David's men. So Ahithophel is saying, no, it's going to be easy. They're weak. Hushai is saying, wait a minute. David won't be among them, and these guys are like bear cubs bereft of their, are like bears bereft of their cubs. You can't bring them down as easy as you think. Make sense? Okay. Questions through 9? Okay, verse 10. Vehu gam ben chayel asher libo kelev ha'aryeh himesya yimas ki yodea kol Yisrael ki gibor avika uvene chayel asher eto. Okay, here it is again. And he even the, here's a, this is an interesting phrase, literally the son of Chayel is valiant, to be valiant or to brave. So notice that this is used, Ben is used not as son, but as an idiom, a valiant person. Okay? So, and one, even a valiant one, who his heart is as the heart of the Aryeh, of the lion. Now, look at this, Himes Yimas. Okay? That's from the root Masas. And it's an infinitive construct, hifil, followed by the finite verb imperfect from masas. So I would translate, will surely melt. Okay? So once again, and one, even a valiant one, who his heart is as the heart of a lion, he will melt. He surely will melt. So the notice the infinitive absolute, will surely melt. Ki yodea, for all Israel yodeas knows that a gibor is your father. Your father is a mighty man. And sons of valor, again, valiant people are those who are ito, with him. See? So notice there, he says, if you guys start losing, the reputation of David and his men is going to spread, and you're toast, because David and his men are valiant men. See, they're not going to give in so easy. Does that make sense? Okay, any questions about any of the verb forms? Probably the toughest one is that masas. Notice those double root letters can cause trouble here, and masas is a fairly common word. But notice again how the infinitive absolute, in this case I'm saying, strengthens the assertion. But it could also be, they will melt totally. It will melt completely. See, translate it that way as well.
There's no subject for that verb there?
Yeah, the subject is the valiant one, vehu. And so, but it, notice it's one. That's why I translate vehu as one. And but I'll translate like this. And he, even a valiant one, who his heart is as the heart of the lion, will melt. See, so it's all of that previous stuff that is the subject. So even the most mighty one will melt when he realizes that he's in a fight with David's men. For all Israel knows that your father is a gibor, and the those who are with him are B'nai Chayil, see? Are valiant people, see? Yes?
How did you know the bin of the Gambin Ayu was not, yes, the son of a valiant?
Okay, it's only as you look at it, he's not talking about he's not talking about a relationship there as father to son. Ben is often used like B'nai Yisrael. You would translate that as Israelites. And sometimes, you know, it means so-and-so was the son of so-and-so who's the son of so-and-so. So it's actually talking about progeny. But you also have these kinds of idioms like a Ben Gibor, mighty man, see? You have the same thing with Ish. Ish Damim, a man of bloods, which we would translate as a bloodthirsty man. And so that's, again, I'm just kind of going by the context here. He doesn't have a particular valiant one in mind of whom a certain one is a son. So he's using it as kind of a class. Okay? Okay, verse 11. This will be our last verse. Ki yatzati he asof ye asef aleka kol Yisrael midan ve'ad be'er sheva kachol asher al hayam larov ufaneka holakim ba'karav. Okay. Here's his advice. Ki, indeed, I advise. Okay, yatzati kol, perfect first common singular. Certainly, I advise. Now, here's another infinitive absolute followed by the finite verb nifal. Okay? I advise, and the subject is Kol Yisrael. Okay? So I advise all Israel certainly should be gathered or should gather to you, Aleka. Okay? From Dan to Beersheba, that's from north to south. Like chol, like the sand, which is by the sea, la rov, in number. Rov means multitude, in number. And paneka, here I'm going to translate, and you and your presence, you yourself, okay, holakim, you yourself should walk. This is a kind of participle. Again, notice the switch in verbs here. You yourself should walk or go bakerav, into the kerav, into the midst, we would say into the battle. Okay? So notice Hushai's advice is for Absalom to gather everybody. Now that's going to give David time, see? And also Absalom's going into battle. All right? So we'll stop there and we'll continue with Hushai's advice next time.